Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to The Pampered Pooch on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Christine Latham.
And I'm your co-host, Vicki Nixon.
Today we're going to talk about a subject that's very near and dear to my heart, which is safety and emergency preparedness. Of course, if we're all, you know, loving our pets like they're our kids, we really want to make sure that we're well prepared in case of an emergency. An emergency can obviously, you know, include something unexpected that's happening in your household, whether you're traveling and it's unexpected, but also it's what if something unexpected happens to you? Do you have a plan that your dogs will be taken care of? So we're going to be talking about that today. And of course, we're going to have a Pampered Pooch of the Week, a pooch waiting to be pampered, and a product of the week. So we'll be back in just a few minutes after our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned. Pawfume Dog Grooming and Finishing Spray is proud to be a new sponsor of Pet Life Radio. Pawfume Super Long Lasting Sprays are available in four unique fragrances. Each Pawfume spray is fortified with the finest conditioners and detanglers to make combing out your dog more fun. Pawfume retails for only $2 per 6-ounce bottle. Pawfume is available nationwide at all Dollar General and Family Dollar stores. Why pay more to have your dog smell great? Pawfume, Pawfume.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pampered Pooch on Pet Life Radio. You know, Christine, as I was coming in today to record, I was thinking about the window clings, decals you have on the outside of your home. Several windows that, in case of an emergency, your pets need to be rescued. You talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I got those not long ago. There's a lot of different companies that sell them. The ones I like the best were by Pet Safety Alert Incorporated. You can go to their website at petalertdecal.com. And it's really nice because in case there's an emergency when you're not at your home, you can put one on your windows, and it basically just tells the like fire and rescue how many pets you have inside your home, so that way they know how many to look for. You can say the number of dogs, cats, birds, or other animals, and it will, you know, it could save your animal's life, and also could save the fire or, you know, rescues life if they're like, say the house is burning and they're going and trying to find how many you have, and, you know, if they've found four and you say that you have four, they know they don't have to look any longer. So that's something I recommend. And I think you could even, like, write in to the window cling, like, an emergency number if you want, which is a good idea, because if you aren't home and you need someone else to be contacted, or, you know, maybe your cell phone or something like that. So that's something I suggest everybody try.
Great idea. I saw those right away. They're bright red and says pet alert.
Yeah, you know, kind of going along with that, one of the things that I've done, you know, some people could say maybe I'm just, you know, being over-prepared, but either way, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a list. My list includes a lot of different information about my dogs. If something were to happen to, say, me and my husband at the same time, you know, a car accident, whatever, I want to make sure that my dogs can be cared for. Our family don't live close to us, so
right.
I want to make sure that I have either, one, I have information for the family to get here, and somebody that's closer that can help us out. But my list includes, you know, a lot of different things, like all about their meals, you know, how much to feed them and when, maybe what kind of food not to give them, any kind of treats that they can have, dangerous foods. Because some, you know, some people that might be having to take care of my dogs in a pinch might not know that, you know, caffeine and chocolate and garlic and onions and stuff like that are harmful for a dog. I talk about, like, the routine, basically, you know, what they're used to as far as, you know, going to the bathroom or being home alone. You know, I just remind them, I personally do not suggest people let their dogs outside of a fenced-in yard without a leash on. You know, everybody's dog's going to be different, and they might say, well, my dog's good, you know, it's never going to, you know, run away. But there's always that case, you know,
right.
Like something grabs their attention, a squirrel or whatever. I actually have a neighbor who, you know, said their dogs would never, like, run away from them. And not long after we moved in, it ran across the street and got hit by a car.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's just, you know, one example, but I've heard many people say they've never ran before.
Right.
So that's another safety thing I suggest is always make sure your dog is either in a fenced-in yard or is always on a leash. Some of the other things that I include on my list in case of an emergency are any medications that they're taking, how often, which dogs, where to find the medicine. I also include on there all of the identifications. You know, if you're using a microchip, what's the microchip number? Where are they registered through? How do you contact that company? If you have any, like, just, I also use what's called an idtag.com. It is basically, it looks like a little charm, but on the back of it has an ID number. And I register with idtag.com. And if the dogs are ever lost, if somebody that finds them doesn't realize they have a microchip, that ID tag is a, you know, they can look at the back of it and say, oh, okay, I see, I can go to this website or call this phone number and, you know, find out more information. And one thing good about using that is if your dog ever does come missing, then you can notify the website and they will put an alert out for
yes.
you, which is really nice.
That is great.
Yeah. Let's see, another couple things that you might want to put on your list. I would put, like say, for example, your vet's information, any, like, poison control hotline information, maybe if they have a daycare that they go to or a boarding facility, I would put that on there. If your dog has pet insurance, you might want to put that information on. So that's just something I recommend is having a list in case of your own emergency and to make sure that your dogs are well taken care of.
On that note, Christine, in case of emergencies, you have something set up that is great because it's step by step. I also have something set up called a pet trust, and I've heard a lot of people talk about the pet trust and what they should do in the event that something happens to you or you and your spouse, what's going to happen with your dogs. Mike and I have set up a pet trust, designating someone to be the trustee. We've set money aside for the dogs to be taken care of. And probably till the rest of, you know, their natural life, and that if the person, the trustee we've named, cannot adopt them, or keep them themselves, that they would be adopted together. They would not be split up because they are used to being together. And I think it's important. And basically what a pet trust is, and you're probably wondering, why do I need a pet trust? It just allows you to provide care for your pets in the event of your death or you and your spouse's death. A trust is different from a will. You may not want to leave money directly to a pet in a last will or a living trust because the law generally classifies pets as personal property. As such, pets cannot directly receive money. A pet trust, on the other hand, allows for money from your estate to be managed as you direct by a person that you choose for the purpose of providing long-term care for your pets or the person that's adopting your dogs out. And I think it's very important that you give it a lot of thought. You talk thoroughly with the person that you want to be the long-term caregiver trustee. There's a lot of good information on creating a pet trust and things like that at www.pettrustplus.com. PETTRUSTPLUS.com. Some really good information. And that was one of the first things Mike and I did when we had our first dog, probably 6 months, because we, you know, not having, knowing the children were young and I don't have any natural children. So our dogs are our kids. We wanted to get that taken care of.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. And you don't have to be rich
to do
that.
No, not at all.
Because you just want to make sure your pets are taken care of. It's not that you have, you know, millions of dollars and you're trying to leave that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, very nice. You know, we briefly touched on the subject of making sure your dogs have identification. You know, of course, there's the standard dog tag, the tag I mentioned, microchipping. I really suggest that you try more than one method with your dog, because a tag can come off. People might not know about the microchipping. So I would try several different things. Of course, do your own research. There are other options out there. There are, like a dog tattoo. I don't know much information about it, but something you can look into. There are GPS collars. If you have a little dog, you might not want to get a GPS collar because I think the GPS device on the collar is pretty big.
Way more than the dog.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, maybe not. Maybe you don't mind that it's a little bit bigger. Or if you have a bigger dog, you know, it's probably not going to seem like too big of a deal. There are a lot of different GPS collars out there, so I'm sure you can find one that would be the right size. That's probably a really good idea because it's probably not going to come off as easily. Might be a little bit more expensive, but hey, you know, finding your dog and keeping them safe is definitely worth the cost. Another thing that I briefly heard a little bit about is basically like a dog nose print.
Interesting.
I don't really know a ton about it. You can find out some more at dognoseid.com. And basically they say that your dog's nose print will never change regardless of the, you know, weather or any kind of precipitation or their age. So that's something you can maybe look into.
Just like people's fingerprints, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's supposed to be like. So yeah, those are some things that I would try on keeping your pet ID'd and keeping your pet safe. Now, one thing I really quickly wanted to mention too is that with microchipping, there are probably a lot of different companies you can go through. Two of the major ones on the market are HomeAgain and Avid. I wanted to point out that with HomeAgain, you have to register every year.
Yes.
And it's really important for people to know that. When I first got Sugar, I was registered with HomeAgain. The time expired and they never sent me a reminder. And she went without having registration for a while before I realized it.
Yes.
So since then, I've always gone with Avid just because, you know, they'll always be registered. You pay one time.
Right.
If you move and you have to update your information, it costs like $6. I mean, to me, it's worth it.
Yeah, I also have three or four I have under that one microchip.
Yeah.
I have to do it every year.
Yeah, so that's something, if you have a dog that's registered in HomeAgain, just please check your records to make sure that they're current on the registration.
You know, Christine, earlier we talked about the pet decal clings in the event of a fire, or your pets need to be rescued. I have found a wonderful product that I actually have myself and met the owner and proprietor that made this. What it is, it's called the Panic Line for dogs. And in case of emergency, the gist of the Panic Line is it allows for multiple dogs to be removed at one time. I had asked the owner how she originally started
or why she made this panic line. And she said that she had an acquaintance that was traveling. They were in their camper going from state to state. And they had 8 big dogs. Some of them were working dogs. Some were show dogs, that kind of thing. Well, while they were traveling, the camper started on fire. And while it was burning, they had to go in, keep getting one dog out at a time because they didn't have the leashes clipped and all that. And they had 8 big dogs they had to take care of. They didn't have a system to get those dogs all out at once. The good news is the dogs got out. But this is why the panic line was invented. And I think it's a great system. It basically is a long, bright orange webbed leash. And it has 4 different attachments coming off the lead line, okay, through ring clips. And they're Velcro together. So you pull the Velcro off and they fall. There are additional add-ons available that they make. The reason that she told me they did 4 is because they tested it out and 4 big dogs could be managed on a 10-foot lead line. So the lead line is 10 feet long and it can easily be tied around a trunk of a tree that's 3 feet, a tire of a car, telephone pole, and because it's bright orange, the lead is bright orange, responders to the fire can see that the dogs are all secured, and then the responders can proceed to help you as needed, put out the fire, etc. This panic line comes in 3 sizes, small, medium, and large, and again, custom sizes can be made, but it's for multiple dogs. This is a great product. It comes in its own little yellow bag. It says panic line for dogs, and I hang it right by my door that we go in and out, so that way, whether it's my husband Mike or myself, we can grab it, flip it open, clip those dogs, and go. She says it's used in grooming salons, vets' offices, kennels, and private homes. Everybody would benefit from this. So for more information on the panic line, go to www.CAOLLARS.com. That's Callie'sCollars.com, and click on panic line for more information. Great safety product.
You know, Vicki, I really like the idea of the fire line like that. It's definitely a good idea for multiple dogs, good idea for big pets. An alternative of something I've been using, thankfully we haven't had any emergencies, but just in case, is I have like a bag. Actually, it's the pet jet setter that we've talked about before. I kind of double it as an emergency bag. And if there's ever like a fire or something that we need to get out of the house, you know, pretty quickly, we are from one end of the house and the other end of the house is where their leashes are usually kept. So I usually keep like some like cheaper ones that can fold down pretty, you know, tightly into the bag to put on them in case we need to get out quickly. I also have like a first aid kit in there. I've got like some water in case, you know, again, you have to get out quickly and you need something with, you know, for the dogs. And we also have some other stuff. They use like a carabiner in case you want to put the leashes all, you know, I have small dogs, so if I want to put the leashes in, you know, somewhere outside, maybe like the neighbor's deck or something, and you can put the carabiner around a pole or whatever, you know, that you need to do in a quick hurry. So that's some stuff that people might want to think about. I know in the first aid kit you have, some of the stuff that you recommend would be like gauze.
Yes. I've got the hydrogen peroxide, I've got a sterile eye wash, an instant cold compress, I have a small thin nylon lead in case I need it, I have first aid, antiseptic, and burn cream, you know, the wet wipes, antiseptic wet wipes, I've got a digital thermometer, latex gloves, tweezers, and scissors if I need to cut the gauze. And then I have a little information packet, just the veterinary's numbers in here, the emergency vet by me, and a little information, the CPR ABCs. What if, you know, a dog has heat stroke, dehydration? What are you supposed to do? What about drowning, burns, bleeding, choking, those kind of things? It's just right there. Everything's right in this little box.
That's a good idea. That sounds pretty similar to what I've got for my first aid kit for the dogs. I also have some, like, diarrhea medicine for the dogs in there.
Good idea.
And some liquid dye-free Benadryl. It has to make sure that, I forget exactly what they recommend that it does not have, but if you're using the children's dye-free allergy, that will be a safe one for the dogs, according to what I've been told. Another thing I have in my kit is a muzzle.
Good idea.
Because one thing I learned in the pet first aid and CPR class that I attended was that even if you've got a great dog that would never bite, if its leg's been broken or some kind of severe pain, it could bite you while you're trying to help it.
Yep.
So that's something that I keep in there just in case. Hopefully I never have to use it.
Good idea.
But yeah, just in case, it's a good idea to have. So that's another thing people might want to think about. You could take your first aid kit with you while you're traveling and have somewhere in your home. Maybe keep it in your car, whatever works for you.
I have a couple.
You know, a little bit further into having your vet's information in the emergency kit, something I do, and you know, maybe it's just a little bit like over prepared or whatever, but it makes me feel comfortable, is to have my vaccination records with me pretty much all the time. I keep it in my purse. You could keep it in your car or wherever is convenient for you. That's kind of useful in a few different reasons. Maybe there's an emergency in your area, not just your house. It could be something like 9/11, God forbid. I think during that time frame, a lot of people were separated from their pets. No clue, but if there was ever a time when you needed to have records for your pet and you didn't have them, that would
be the time.
That would be the time when you would need them. Or perhaps maybe you are traveling and there's an emergency. You need to take your pet somewhere to be boarded that you've never been to before, and they don't want to take them. And it's a Sunday and your vet's not open. So that's just an idea. I also include with that directions to the closest emergency 24-hour facility. And mostly that's because if I did ever have to have an emergency and I got to take my dog somewhere quickly, I don't want to have to stop, figure out what's the closest place, and I really don't want to have to stop and figure out directions to that place.
Right.
You know, time is of the essence, so having that prepared ahead of time would be a good idea. And along the same lines, if you are traveling, a book that I have is called the Pet ER Guide. It's made by Trailer Life Books. It's a directory of 24-hour and after-hour veterinary facilities in the United States. It's written by Melinda Lord, and basically it lists by every state and some of the cities that you might be visiting near. It will list the emergency animal facilities that you can go to. It lists all kinds of information on how to contact them, what their hours are, etc. It's a good idea to keep with you when you're traveling, and you don't have to worry about finding a place near, you know, vacation spot or wherever you're at. You know, speaking of so much traveling and emergency preparedness, some of the things that you can do, on a safety level of travel is, you know, instead of letting your dogs go loose in the vehicle, you can use a seatbelt made for pets. You use the lookout seats that we've talked about before. I have my dogs in harnesses, and then I have them attached to the harness is a tether, what's called. But one end of the tether attaches to the safety bar in between your seats, and the other end attaches to their harness. So it gives them some room to be able to move around, but they're not going to go, like, flying somewhere.
Suddenly, yes.
Yeah. And by attaching it to the harness, it's not bad on their neck, you know, with the collar. So that's one thing you can try. It's good if you have, you know, only a few animals or a big vehicle, putting them in the crate is a good idea too.
Yes.
That will probably keep them, I would say, even the most safe, having some metal around them. Or if for whatever reason, the vehicle's damaged, maybe they won't be able to run loose in the car.
Correct.
So anybody that can do the crates, a great thing. Another thing that would be a good idea would be a window cling for your vehicle. It is made by the National Pet Sitters, and it basically just lists a emergency contact in case you are in a accident in your vehicle. You know, that's something to consider.
I carry a laminated card, Christine, right behind my driver's license that said, in the event of emergency, I am a pet owner. Please call this number, whoever my two or three emergency contacts are, to let them know that, you know, get my pets.
Good idea.
Something small you can have, but in addition to the window cling.
Right. You know, another thing I do is I keep in my car an extra collar and a leash just in case one of my dogs were to break, or in case I'm somewhere and I see a stray animal that, you know, you can't find the owner,
right,
and you want to help the dog. Usually when you have strays, they don't want to come to you on maybe on their own. Maybe they need a little bit of coaxing with, you know, a leash or something. That's something you might want to think about. We also carry, like, food and water dishes. You can get, like, the collapsible kind that go right in your glove compartment if you want.
Yeah. And we'll be right back after a few messages from our sponsor.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. Now, I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's fine.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghostly host, Dusty Rainbolt, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about traveling with your pets, pet safety. Christine was just talking about safely transporting your pets from here to there and what can work. A small addition to that would be I take my 18-month-old nephew around quite a bit, and I have one of those window shades that has the color on it, the red button that says if it gets too hot, suction cups. It works great for dogs, your pampered pooch, too. They're $5 at your local Meijer, or I'm sure you can pick it up at any, you know, Walmart store, and it would keep the car cool and kind of alert you. Again, we never recommend that you ever leave your dog unattended in a car. I don't care if the window's down and it's 60 degrees. That is not something we are recommending, but while you're traveling with them, keep the shades down, keeps the car cool. Maybe they'll be sleeping and enjoying themselves, and you know how the temperature is getting in the back. And as we're talking about travel and summer and things that happen, if you're taking your dog somewhere, either you're going up north or going to friends or family's house, they may have a pool. This is something I think to be really careful about, pets and pools. Everyone assumes that all dogs can swim and that they love the water.
Not necessarily so.
That's true. I guess just most pet owners assume
that they know how to swim, but many do not, many pets do not, dogs especially, the first time, and they find themselves in a pool. It can be really traumatic if they're not introduced to it slowly. A lake is a little bit different. A pool can be very unsafe for your dog. If your dog's running around or the kids are running around and the dog's excited and the dog falls in, how does the dog get out on those sides? The dog can lose his life. There is such a thing called a scamper mat.
Scamper ramp?
Scamper ramp, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, okay.
Scamper mat. A scamper ramp that actually was invented for your dog to be able to climb up and out of the water from the sides of the pool.
Yeah, one of Chris's family members did actually have that unfortunate incident where she didn't realize the dog had gotten outside and it unfortunately drowned in the pool because it wasn't big enough to get out of the pool. So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, if it's your back own backyard, we recommend some kind of device that the dog can get out on a
ramp. It's got holes. It's hard plastic. It can grip. If you want to find out more information about the scamper ramp, go to www.scamper-ramp.com. And there's also, if you're like me and you have a pool, I have little life jackets for my dogs just to get them in the water. You know, Mateo does really good with the pool and likes to be in the water, and I didn't want it to be traumatic for him.
Maybe you're going on a boat out on a lake somewhere.
Yes. They do have dog life jackets. They even have some designer dog life jackets, Christine, which is amazing for your pampered pooches. But, you know, the life jackets just make sure your pet's safe around the water, the boat, the pool. It's great for working dogs or older dogs if they're in and out of the water a lot. They're available in small to 3X sizes, and you can, you know, measure your dog, that kind of thing, and order the size that works. They have little nautical ones and pink polka dots. They're so cute.
And usually on the back of the life jackets, there's like a loop where basically you can pick them up quickly if you need to.
Right.
So that's something that's a nice little extra safety feature.
Yes, big or small. And you know how things weigh less in the water? So even if you got a big dog, you can still use that loop. You can find these pet safety life jackets at www.petsmall.com. That's petstreetmall.com.
Well, this is Christine Latham with the Pampered Pooch, and I'm here with Mary. She's the co-chair of the Puppy Mill Awareness Meetup Group, and that's basically located in the Metro Detroit area. And we are at, again, the Fight at Us Ferndale event. And Mary, what are you hoping to basically do at today's event?
Well, we hope today's event will draw a lot of people into our booth to be able to educate them about the puppy mills and the link to the pet stores. There's still a lot of people who don't have any idea that pet stores do sell puppy mill puppies, and that even though the pet stores say that they're a USDA licensed breeder, that still means puppy mill. So the pet stores try to, you know, skirt the issue. And we want to make everybody aware of that. And the puppy mill puppies are kept in some really inhumane conditions. You know, the feces and the urine drop from one cage to the next. The cages are have wire floors, and oftentimes they're too large for the dogs. And their feet fall through the wire, and then they can get injured. And the other part is the breeding dogs are kept in crates for 2-3 years at a time. They never see the outdoors. They don't know what grass is. They've never been socialized with people or other dogs. Sometimes puppy mill puppies are hard to potty train because they've always gone in their crate. They don't understand the indoor-outdoor kind of a situation. So we're hoping to limit commercial breeders. Actually, we'd like to, you know, be able to shut down some puppy mills, because what they do is there's such an overpopulation of dogs already that it's really not necessary to have these breeders do mass breeding of puppies. There's so many purebreds and shelters and rescues, even purebred rescues, that it's not necessary to have these puppy mills just churning out puppy after puppy. They don't concern themselves with the health of the of the puppies that they produce. And then the unsuspecting customer buys the puppy, and then before you know it, you get hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars in vet bills.
Yeah.
So our goal is education and to encourage people to go through rescues or shelters when they're looking for their next pet. And they make great pets. You know, so many people say that they're probably some of the most grateful pets around. And it just seems to be that way. So we're hoping we can get people back into the shelter. Stop the euthanizing. You know, there's a lot of dogs who are just really stressed in the shelters, really need to be in a home, do so much better in a home, you know, than the shelter.
Right.
And so if we can, you know, stop the puppy mill breeding, we won't have so many dogs being euthanized or being stressed in shelters.
Yeah, it sounds good. You know, I actually have two puppy mill survivors of my own. One is Princess. She's actually just turned 6, but she was in a puppy mill for 3 years, used as a breeder. And her afterlife wasn't as bad after she got out and was rescued. She had a lot of separation anxiety and is still shy and very fearful of men still, but she's done pretty good. So they're definitely can be really, you know, rehabilitated, so people don't have to worry about getting a puppy mill dog as, you know, their pet. And then I have Louie. He was in a puppy mill for 9 years. And it's a little bit harder for him. Like, he's one that we haven't all the way gotten to train, like you mentioned, because he spent so much time, you know, just being able to go to the bathroom wherever he wanted. So he does sometimes have to wear a belly band, you know. But again, like, he's just been a little bit slower of a progress, but he has come around, you know. They're definitely made great dogs.
Oh, yeah. The puppy mills, I've got one from a Pennsylvania puppy mill and one from a Missouri puppy mill. And the one guy spent an entire year in a cage, and they are initially very fearful, but as they become more socialized, now for these guys, my guys are younger than yours, so that's a little bit easier to rehabilitate because they're so much younger, but they do rehabilitate, and they do make great pets. So nobody should be afraid of, you know, it just takes a little more patience, a little bit more understanding, but nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely form a really good bond with these dogs. So that's definitely the way to go. And trying to get a dog out of a pet store, you know, and even some people feel like they're rescuing the dog by purchasing it from the pet store, and that's really not the case, because as long as there's a buyer, there's going to be a seller. And if you think you're helping that poor dog by getting it out of the pet store by buying it, you're really not. You're just putting money back in the puppy miller's hands.
Yeah, because it's going to be replaced by another dog for sale, basically. So.
Oh, yeah. You buy one spot, opens up, and there's 10 more waiting to take it. So we really would like to see that stop.
Yeah, and you know, the great thing about what you're doing today is that you're doing it in a very non-invasive way. You know, you just have a booth with some information for people to come up. You're doing like free face painting. You've got some examples of paw painting. You know, some of the rescues have, you know, just basically done portraits with their paws with paint. And, you know, you're just doing it in a nice, friendly way. And that's the good thing about the group, I think.
Yeah, our goal in that regard, too, is just to be very warm, very friendly. If somebody doesn't want to agree with us, you know, that's perfectly fine. We're not here to impose our opinion on people. We're here to share the information and the facts that we have, and then we let the public do what they want with that information.
Right.
You know, not everybody's going to buy it, and I'm sure there's a lot of pet store owners out there that are just going to say, yeah, this is, you know, not, they're going to try and discredit it. But of course, I expect that because that's their business. So we're really a very peaceful group. We're not confrontational in
absolutely,
any fashion.
Yeah.
I think education is education is power. So if we educate the people, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you so much, Mary. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks. Our favorite pooch of the week is Montauk. Montauk is a 3-year-old, well, almost 3.5, Great Dane. Her mom, Cheryl, was basically in search of a playmate for their other Great Dane. And they drove up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and found what they thought was really deplorable conditions that the puppies were living in. They really wished they could take home all the puppies, but, you know, they couldn't quite do that, as all of us would probably not be able to do that. Montauk really had and still has many medical problems, but they would not give her up for the world, and they do not regret ever getting her. Some of the things that Montauk really likes to do is she likes to run. She really likes to chase and be chased. And her favorite toys outside is a purple Jolly Ball. She pretty much carries it around with her head held high and with pride. And inside is a pillow that she kind of commands as her own. She will find it in the bedroom and take it wherever she wants to lay down. She'll gnaw on it and, like, soak it in saliva. Sounds pretty cute. And basically, like, her favorite food, well, she, due to her allergies, she's pretty much limited to what she can eat. Like, she's not given any kind of human food or no unauthorized treats, which I completely understand. I try not to let anybody give them unauthorized treats so I can, you know, limit what kind of food they're getting. But she likes the food that she is getting. She's the happiest when she can dig and create a crater in the blink of an eye. She doesn't know any tricks, just kind of like the basic commands. If you can get her to listen to you, then she's pretty much, you know, the mom's pretty much happy with that. Some of the ways that she's pampered, she doesn't have a wardrobe of such because as a Great Dane, she's just too big for that. But she is pampered in many other ways. Pampered in ways that some people don't really consider pampering. Like when she broke her leg and needed immediate surgery to save her leg, they definitely took, you know, great care of her. I'm sure that costs quite a penny. She has a dermatologist specialist for her allergies, and unfortunately she has to get weekly injections, and her skin has to be tended to, and her ears have to be tended to on a weekly basis. So those are some, you know, health ways that her mom likes to pamper her. Many things over the years that have been done to help build her confidence with humans. So the pampering isn't really in, like, material things, but it's more like the care and love that she gets from her family. And, of course, you know, above and beyond what is considered reasonable. The money and the time that's invested in her have been reason enough for others to maybe want to have terminated her. But her family has, you know, loved her, has never looked back since she came into their life, and they know that it's for a reason. And really, that's the best kind of pampering, I think.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, she sounds like a really great gal. And her picture is so cute. It's a picture of her laying on the sofa with probably the pillow that they're talking about. She's very cute.
And this week's pooch waiting to be pampered or adopted, looking for their forever home, is Shorty, a Boston Terrier. Shorty is so cute. He is a small senior, approximately 8 to 10 years old. He's black and white and brindle. Of course, he's a neutered male. He weighs 18 pounds. He's really good with dogs, not sure about cats. He's crate trained, housebroken, great temperament, active energy level, good with kids of all ages, and he's working on his basic commands. He's being fostered in Michigan, and his adoption fee is $175. They tell us the foster mom says that Shorty may be a senior, but he's a very young at heart senior. He still loves to play, go for walks, but he really enjoys his cuddle time also. He's a friendly little guy that loves people and loves to have attention poured on him. Shorty says, come play with me and I'll give you lots of kisses. If you're interested in Shorty, so cute, go to Midwest Boston Terrier Rescue. That's www.midwest.com. B as in boy, T as in Tom, the word rescue.org. That's Midwest, B as in boy, T as in Tom, rescue.org. And click on Shorty, and you can get more information on him.
That's actually all the time that we have for today. We really appreciate you listening to our show, and we'd really like to get some of your feedback. So if you want to email us at pamperedpooch@petliferadio.com, we would love to hear from you. And of course, submit your own pampered pooch so that way we can pick them next week.
Until next time.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.